K2 RCL mobile. K2 RCL, KO4 NUE. Chad, you on today?
RCL, KO4 HKX, how are you today?
Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but if you're looking for Chad, he's helping his cousin Chris with some family issues.
That's all good. I just gonna let him know he had done some third-party traffic for me a little while back with Alexander. And I was just gonna let him know Alexander passed his tech test last night on Zoom, and he's waiting on his call sign now.
Good deal. I know he'll be excited to hear that, and if I talk to him, I will tell him to get in contact with you.
All good. I'm headed over to Hinman, see if I can get a pilot light lit, and got a toilet to fix and a little piddling to do and trying to get an air supply set up in the shop now that we upgraded the compressor. So busy, busy, busy. How you doing? You busy today or are you taking a day off in the rain?
I'm riding around in the rain. I'm working, but it's a little slow. But hey, I just wanted to let you know that I got customers out here, so I'm going to hop off here and get back with them. You take care, Russell, and I'll keep in touch with you later on today, maybe. KO4 HKX, clear.
Patrick, Chevy 3, have yourself a good day and be safe out there in the rain. K2 RCL, W4 DJW. Dave, you on? RCL, no contact. I'll be monitoring.
RCL, listen, Gerald TR, and I believe it's Daniel.
Russell.
I corrected myself, but you stepped on me. good morning, Russell. How's your day going?
It's going good so far. I'm staying dry. Yeah, I was just going to let a couple of people know that had done some third-party traffic for me with a little fellow by the name of Alexander. It's a friend of our son. He's been studying pretty hard for his tech test, and he was able to take it online yesterday afternoon, and he passed his tech test, so now he's just waiting on his call sign.
Worth of congratulations on. I don't know the gentleman. Boy, it's a nasty old day out here, isn't it, Russell?
I was just going to be, I just wanted to brag on him because him and his brother, 10 and 12, they've been studying some. Alexander's been studying pretty hard now. I think the other one's going to get in there and he's going to jump on it and see if he can't get his license too. But they're pretty young and they're getting into the ham radio, so it's nice to see the younger generation jumping into it.
Yes, it is. You probably don't remember it because I've been a member of this club for 11 years, I guess, something like that. But there used to be a family check-in every night. And they had, I think, from 8 years old on up, and they must have had four or five kids, and the wife and the husband was all ham radio operators. That was really, you knew that was coming every night.
Outstanding. I'm still trying to convince my wife to go ahead and get her, at least her tech license, but she hadn't pulled the trigger and studied hard enough to take the test yet. She looked over it a little bit, but I'm trying to motivate her that way, and anybody else that I can talk into it, I'm trying to get them to go ahead and study and get theirs.
Gerald TR Mobile. Well, you know, we're down here on Buncombe by the Indian Motorcycle Place, if you know where that's at. But, well, that's great. I'm really surprised at that whole family having it. Now, Bernice, there's just no way. I've tried, but she just don't have an interest in it. She'll talk to everybody third party a little bit, but as far as studying and getting a license, you know, she certainly has the intelligence, but I don't know. She just don't want to do it, so I'm not going to force her.
I was going to say, I know she's smart enough to do it and could probably whiz right through it. She puts up with you, so she's got to have a lot of smarts to outsmart you.
I resemble that. That's one, Russell. Shoot. Yeah, there's no doubt. She can do about anything. She was a farmer, though, you know, and farmers are pretty adept at doing most things. Did you see where somebody set fire to four or five barns? It was up north, wasn't it, Bernice?
Yeah.
North of us someplace up there. It was on the news, on Fox News, I know, today, and on Channel 4.
Who are some guys that I'm still in touch with that's in the fire service since I retired? They were talking about it the other day. They just across the North Carolina line up there. I think they said Rutherfordton. I'm not 100% sure, so don't hold me to the county, but they said it wasn't too far up there. But sounds like it's kind of isolated to that area, and it don't sound good. Hopefully they'll catch whoever's doing it.
You can do something about it. That's the bad part nowadays. They don't seem to follow through. That's terrible. I bet you that one barn I saw was $200,000, and the loss of the feed for their livestock is just really sad. I forget how many hundred bales of hay was in that one, but it was huge. These all happened within a radius of a few miles. That's not coincidental. Bernice has always told me, though, if you cut the wheat, what do you make the fescue? Is that what you're making?
Prairie
hay is what they made it out of. If you cut it too soon, Russell, it'll generate its own heat and cause a fire.
100% correct. I have seen it done. If people bale it green, or they don't dry it, tether it out, and then break it up into rows and bale it, if it's wet, it'll generate heat, especially if they stack it tight in the barn loft or something like that, the heat from the roof and everything during the summer. I've seen several barns burn like that. We've had some of the storage sheds, like a lean-to style deal that they'll stack hay under and cover it up with a tarp. We've had to go in there and put them out. And you want to talk about aggravating? Woo! You have to cut the bales open. You have to spread them out and wet them down because you can't get water to penetrate down in them. Put them out. So it's definitely a task to do for sure.
It's a shame. They got enough to contend with without having an arsonist out there. I have seen them smoldering before. In the fields, but normally, I guess when they're out in the air, they don't do that, but it's a bad situation. Well, I'm going out on to I-85, and I didn't want to make this trip anyways, but I'm doing it for Bernice. We're going to Williamston to the fabric store, and she likes to go down there now and then, and we haven't been since this COVID stuff's been going on, you know. And now I'm out on I-85 and switching over here to the fast lane.
I'm familiar with that store down there. Good place and good prices for sure. Y'all be safe out there on 85. You know, it raining like this. People can't drive. They get a little crazy.
QSL, Russell. the cloud ceiling's down about 3,000 or 4,000 feet. It's pretty low, and the traffic now, when you get down here past the Pelham exit, it's just absolutely nuts. It's already starting to come to a stop. I think there's some construction down there, but yeah, there's some warning signs, and everybody's starting to stop. Road work in a half a mile.
It's I-85 is a never-ending construction project, about like 26 is. But not changing the subject, but real quick, how is Miss Bernice doing? I know she had some stuff going on there and got it took care of. She doing good?
Fine. Our daughter, our youngest one, had to go to the emergency room last night, unfortunately. They did a CT scan on her, and they didn't find anything, but she had some pain in her stomach area. And, she's getting a little older now, and it really concerned us. We have some things, a history in the family that always does. My sister had colon cancer, but thank God they didn't find anything. And she's doing okay, and they sent her home from the hospital this morning.
Hopefully it was just a bad taco or something along those lines that caused the problem, and it'll pass on, and she won't have any problems. But it's good to hear that, you know, to an extent they didn't find anything. Got to send her home. She didn't have to stay. I know the hospital's not the greatest place to be right now. They stay pretty busy.
Well, she's been vaccinated, thank God for that, and that should give her some protection, hopefully. You just don't know. Nowadays, everything's so crazy from the COVID, but she's not one to go, I'll tell you. She's got a high threshold of pain, and for her to go in, that's got to be alarming, you know, but she's doing okay, and we're glad to hear that. Yeah, we got the Lane Dodgers out here, the typical ones. We just passed the Fox Carolina newsroom down here, if you know where that's at, Russell. It's in 02.
I'm familiar with that little section of interstate there. I've run it a few times. I never did like working accidents out there or anything like that. People don't slow down and just go way too fast, especially when you stand on the side of the road. But it's definitely a little hairy little section down through there.
Well, as you did that, you said something about you was in the fire department. Where at?
About 27 years in the emergency services. The last 10 and a half years was as a fire chief up in northern Greenville County, up close to North Greenville University. And February 2019, I hung the helmet up. I still volunteer on the administrative side and help out when I can. But, yeah, I drove a couple ambulances and fire trucks and had a fun time taking care of the community, but I've just kind of got to the point now I'm taking care of them in a different way. I do a little handyman work now.
This is NGRTR Mobile. Well, with all sincerity, I say God bless you. Wow, that takes lots of guts, and that's an honorable thing you've done, and I don't blame you for getting out of it now, but the police officers are the ones that are flying out like a flock full of doves going south, and I don't blame them either, and that's a shame, but you put your time in, I'll tell you for sure.
Appreciate it, Tom, but, you know, it was one of those things I got into when I was about 17 years old, and I just kind of worked my way through it, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time taking care of the community. Some people don't respect emergency services, and that's understandable. Everybody's got their own personal opinion, but, you know, for the most part, it was really a good time. There was a lot of stuff I seen that I wished I could delete, but, you know, at the end of the day, we did a lot more good, and that was the main thing.
Right. You ought to be eligible for PTSD with the kind of stuff you've done. It's just incredible. Let me let this Mini Cooper over. I'm driving 75, and he wants to go around, so we'll just let him go around. Mental midgets, I'll tell you. If that little thing gets squeezed between a semi-truck, she'll need somebody to scrape him off the pavement. Well, I bet you had some exciting times driving those ambulances. I've seen people that they don't get over, and they'll run right in front of them at the stoplights and that. The cars are so well insulated now, like this Avalon is so quiet that sometimes you just don't hear them. And I try to keep an ear to the ground for them.
I mean, it happens, you know, and it was frustrating, especially if we were trying to transport back to the hospital with a critical patient or something, but it's, you just got accustomed to it and kind of learn to drive defensively, and it never was a good feeling when you crossed over on 25 down there and went into oncoming traffic going through the intersections, that was always a point where you kind of held on to the seat cover a little tighter, if you know what I mean.
Made your butt pucker just a little bit. No other way to put it, Russell. Well, I don't blame you for that. And you really, you were like me in a lot of ways in what I done. I worked with high voltage all my life. And the thing of it is, well, I got lost my train of thought here in traffic. But the thing of it is, you got to see the evolution of technology, kind of like I did, only I went from vacuum tubes to variable frequency drives, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of improvements in the technology.
For sure, everything from emergency lights to safety equipment to medical equipment, firefighting equipment, all the way across the board. I mean, technology can be our friend or it can be our enemy. We just have to kind of take it in strides, I guess.
Defibrillators are something else now that they got in all the schools and every place else. We had a lady that got caught in a printing press one day, and she was out flat cold on the deck, and they put one of those on her, and that thing said, "Do not shock, do not shock," and her hair had got caught in it, and she just passed out. And so they're smart enough to know when to shock and when not to shock.
It's definitely come a long way and made it a lot easier. Well, Tom, I have destinated over here in Inman. I am going to hop out of here and see if I can get a couple of things accomplished. You and Miss Bernice, be safe out there on the highway. And I'll be listening for you later on. It's a pleasure, as always, talking with you. And tell Miss Bernice hello. And I'm going to say 73s. And y'all have a wonderful afternoon.
Right back out to you, Russell. Whew, this guy swerved towards the back of this semi-truck. And it's great talking to you. And I'll say 73s and pay attention to my driving here. This is Zero TR Clear.